Good morning. Welcome to Community Focus, a show dedicated to exploring the personalities, issues, and events of interest to southeastern Wisconsin. I'm your host, Matt Nye. Our guest today is Ellen Moyer. She is founder of Greenvironment LCC, as well as author of the book, Our Earth, Our Species, Ourselves, How to Thrive While Creating a Sustainable World. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, thank you, Matt. It's so great to be back. I always like talking with you.
Now, it seems that there has certainly been a lot written about different types of things, nature conservatism, green business, environmentalism. We throw these words around a lot, and we don't exactly know if they all mean the same thing. Are they different categories, and how is your book addressing these topics?
Well, I look at it pretty simply, people do use different terms in a variety of different ways, but my main concern is that we can't keep going the way we're going. So what we're doing is not sustainable, and I just mean that in the most simple sense of the word, and that is that our behavior cannot be sustained. We are slamming into a wall with population growth, with carbon dioxide emissions and concentrations in the atmosphere, and a lot of other environmental problems, species extinction, et cetera. So we're in a severe crisis right now, and we need to very quickly change course. Our scarcest resource is time. So a lot of books out there cover that ground. What I want to add to the equation is all the good news that goes along with this extremely dire news. And the good news is that we absolutely can create a sustainable world for ourselves much more easily than we might think, and we can enjoy ourselves as we do this. You know, we have some crazy assumptions that have crept into our minds, and we don't really question them. One of them being, we assume that it's going to be hard and unpleasant to create a sustainable world. Well, is that true? No, it's not true. And in fact, not creating a sustainable world and sitting around absorbing harmful impacts is what's hard and unpleasant. We also assume, because people have told us this, hey, if you want to have a good economy, you're going to have to trash the environment. You know, it's the environment or the economy. We can't have both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that also is a complete lie, because our economy depends on a healthy environment. You know, Senator Gaylord Nelson, who invented Earth Day in 1970, he's famous for saying, quote, "The environment is a wholly owned subsidiary of," he said, "the economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment." So you have to have a good environment. So people who want to just plunder the commonwealth would like us to believe otherwise.
So
I think there's also a
yep.
Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So when you talk about being environmental friendly, that idea that it's sometimes bad for business, why do you think that message has been such a prominent one out there that people assume is true?
Well, it just kind of crept in. You know, we've been so incredibly successful on a technological basis, and we never really tried to go about it in a way that protects the environment. In the early days, there was plenty of land around. If we contaminated some land or some rivers, we'd just go somewhere else. And so we just developed this way of doing things, you know, without really giving a thought to the impacts on health and the environment. So it's more a question of just momentum, that this is the direction we're going in, and that people who have done well under the current system just don't really want it to change. So it's more just unconscious beliefs than anything else. And it's kind of a lot like individuals. You know, we have unconscious beliefs that have crept into our lives, and we just believe them until we start being conscious of them and examining them. You know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm not good enough, I can't do this, you know, I don't deserve it. You know, all these negative beliefs we have. Well, we have similar beliefs as a species or as a society, and we just need to become aware and really question whether they're really true.
In terms of that idea that we used to have lots of space, and if we didn't like where it was headed, we could move somewhere else. I just want to challenge that assumption a little bit. It seems to be that there used to be a lot of pro-business individuals out there that also in hand really valued that idea of stewardship of the earth, taking historically in mind the reason behind even creating a national park system, acknowledging early on that, you know, this is a valuable environment and we want to preserve it for future generations. The sustainability needs of people in agriculture, realizing that if I go ahead and bleed out all the nutrients of my soil, then I'm not going to make it to that next year. So I guess it's a little strange that we all commonly hold that belief system that we want to live in a beautiful place, that we want to really have a healthy environment to raise our family in, and yet why isn't that the dominant perspective that we're all just jumping on board?
Yeah, that's a great question. And again, I think it's just unconscious beliefs. And if people really sit down, and in my book I suggest that people do this, just sit down with a piece of paper and figure out what really is most important to me. And chances are it's something like the future of the children, or, you know, letting the natural world flourish and species survive. And, you know, it's probably something lofty like that. But we get these messages, you know, thousands of advertising messages every day saying, you know, get this new product or you're a complete loser. And so a lot of this enters our subconscious, and we don't even know it's happening, but it affects our thinking and our minds. So, and you are correct that a lot of people do have good motives and are doing great things. So nothing's ever black or white. Everything's, you know, gray and complex and, you know, a variety of things going on. Part of it is people are not realizing how they are paying a price today. So just one example, and one example that you raised was agriculture, food and agriculture. A lot of chronic disease, some of the biggest killers of our time, such as cancer, cognitive problems, diabetes, many of these chronic diseases are at least partly caused by chemicals such as pesticides. So people are not putting two and two together to say, hey, I have cancer because of these synthetic chemicals, and man, do I wish I didn't have to put up with this. So a lot of that information is suppressed in the traditional conventional media. You know, network news sponsors, many of which are food and agriculture companies, they are not going to allow news programs to dwell on these issues. So people are getting misinformation in the media, and they're getting subconscious messages through advertising, and we think we can resist these things, but it's much harder than we think. I mean, you hear a lot of people say, "Oh, I don't pay any attention to ads." Well, yes, you do, because if you drive down the highway and there's a billboard, that message is getting into your brain even if you don't know it. So it's really what we need is consciousness and figuring out what we want and then using all the capacities and tools that we already have to turn things around. And we definitely can do it if we have the will to decide to do it. That's my main message. And we've done similar things in the past. It's pretty amazing what people have done, and without all the cool tools that we have. One example would be in the Middle Ages, in the 1300s in London, people were throwing their waste in the streets all the time. And it was not only really unpleasant, it smelled like hell, and people wore these platform shoes to try to rise above the muck and the mire, but it also attracted rats that had fleas that carried the bubonic plague. And this wiped out half the population in London. And finally, people got totally fed up with the situation. They said, this is just intolerable. We're not going to take this anymore. And they insisted on change. And things changed. And they started taking the waste outside the city walls. And life got a lot better. And London started to thrive. And it continues to thrive to this day. So that's one example of people saying, we're fed up and things will change, period. And there have been other instances like that, too. This time it's different. We can't just go outside the city walls and put our bad stuff out there. We actually need to ramp up our technology to the next level of sophistication, mm-hmm. where the things... our technology not only gets the job done, but it doesn't kill us in the process. So that's the next challenge, and I'm totally confident we can do it.
Go ahead. Yeah, if you're just joining us, we are talking with author Ellen Moyer. She is the author of Our Earth, Our Species, Ourselves, How to Thrive While Creating a Sustainable World. And Ellen, I think you really hit on... that very first step that we, in your metaphor, well, your historical reference to the bubonic plague, where people finally got fed up. You know what? Half of our population is dying. We need to do something. What is it going to take, do you think, for the tipping point to be, you know what? We need to do something. We're fed up. Are we there yet? Or what do you think is it going to be our inciting incident to really, much like in London, make a major change?
It'll probably be more disasters like Hurricane Sandy or food shortages, or probably some kind of disaster that actually affects affluent white people in addition to other people. So it's impossible to know how long we'll let things go before we put our foot down. That's completely unknown. My book is urging people, hey, let's do this sooner rather than later and avoid some of the need for damage control. Let's get our act together now. Let's be smart, and let's also care more about other people and other species. People are dying now from climate change, and there's a lot of smugness in our country here with people questioning whether climate change is happening or not and buying the misinformation. Meanwhile, people are dying of drought and food shortages in parts of Africa. Sea level rise is inundating places where people live. So part of this needs to be compassion for other living things. So my book actually is geared toward readers who actually care about more than gratifying their immediate needs. And that's a pretty large part of the population, I hope.
Now, in terms of, there's that through line where you are saying, hey, there is a lot of simple things we can do that's good for business and that is actually fun and improves our quality of life. And that fun through line is kind of an interesting thing, because if it's not going to be, you know, we get to a point where, oh my gosh, half the population has died like the bubonic plague. But instead of taking that approach of, hey, our lives can be improved and it's fun and it's easy, what do you think are just some simple steps we could take that are fun and easy and good for business?
Well, I have many concrete actions in the book, and people are loving it because they're saying, hey, this says exactly what I can do, and it's easy and straightforward. One of the best things you can do that falls within that category you just described is to choose organically grown food. This is good for you because it reduces your exposure to pesticides, it increases the nutrients you get, but it also helps our world tremendously by reducing the use of pesticides that get into air, water, and soil. It reduces the soluble fertilizers that get into water bodies and cause eutrophication and dead zones at the mouths of rivers. It saves farm workers from early deaths and chemical exposure, and it helps the green part of our economy that is struggling to grow. So that's one example where an action that is enjoyable, because the food tastes great, is good for your health, the economy, and the environment. Another food-related action is to reduce food waste. It's pretty shocking that in the United States, 40% of all the food we grow is thrown away. And this is at all points in the line, all the way from the farm field to someone's kitchen or a restaurant. But the average American family throws away $150 worth of food every month. And this has enormous environmental costs to produce and transport the food. So people can save money, not hurt their health in any way, and help the environment by just cutting down on food waste by doing things like having a list when you go shopping, not being famished when you go shopping, and just doing a little more planning, not making too much food or serving too much food. So those are a couple examples of easy things that help everyone.
So we only have enough time just for a couple more questions. First, where can we go, Ellen, to find out more information about your book or many of the things that we talked about here today?
Okay, my website would be a good place to go, and that's www.ellenmoyerphd.com, and that's ellenmoyerphd.com. And on there, you can see rave reviews and cover quotes from people like Mark Hyman, M.D., Joel Furman, M.D. And you could also go to Amazon.com and just put Our Earth in the search bar, and that'll take you to the Amazon page. And I would love it if people would check out this book. People are really liking it. It's already a bestseller, and it's Amazon's number one hot new release in nature conservation, environmentalism, and green business. So it's written for the layperson, and I really hope people will check it out.
Final question. What, Ellen, makes you most optimistic that we're going to turn this ship around and really embrace that idea of a sustainable life?
Well, it's, I guess there are a lot of things. In fact, part of my book is a list of reasons why I think we're going to succeed. But part of it is that people want change. You know, we saw that in the recent election, and people are not satisfied with the way things are going. So that is a huge motivator for change. So I would put that among the things at the top of the list. The other thing is that, you know, we have a track record of billions of years of evolutionary success. We have done very well. So there's no reason to think that we can't rise to this other challenge. You know, most species that ever lived have gone extinct, 99% of them. We're still here because we have done well. So we have the track record to prove that we can succeed.
All right. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today. We've been talking today with Ellen Moyer. She is author of Our Earth, Our Species, Ourselves, How to Thrive While Creating a Sustainable World. Ellen, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate your having me, and be back on your show anytime you want.
All right. Thank you. And that will do it today for Community Focus. This is Matt and I wishing you all the very best in Burlington and beyond.